Hey everyone, welcome back to another new episode of Money Memories. I'm your host, Ilona. This week, I'm talking to Tosin Mills, who is a product and growth strategy manager at Microsoft. Tosin shares how her experience of moving from Nigeria to the United States played an important role in her understanding of the value of money and what her favorite money slogan is. Also, I'm starting a weekly series where I ask listeners to submit their money questions. You can submit your questions directly to me on Instagram or Twitter at Ilona on the Money. Each week, I'll select one question to answer. This week, several of you asked if you could explain what NFT or non-fungible tokens actually are. Keep listening to hear my explanation. Let's jump in.
Great. Well, welcome Tosin to Money Memories. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
I'm so much better now that I get to speak with you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time. So let's just dive in. Let's get started. You know, what's your background? How'd you grow up?
So I'm currently living on the West Coast right now, but originally I was born in Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria, which is the commercial center of the country. Lived there with my family till I was three, almost four. And we were, you know, the five of us at the time were firmly middle class, we like to think of it. I didn't have much awareness of that period, given that my age, but looking at pictures and seeing that we had birthday parties and all sorts of toys and clothes and day trips, and we even made international trips like to New York City. So by the time my dad had started living in the U.S. So that's kind of where things started for us. And then we moved out to New York City, met up and reunited with my dad, who had been here and lived in the Bronx, New York, South Bronx for a year before moving to a suburb, which is actually a suburb of New York City called Inglewood, New Jersey, in Bergen County. And that's where I can like firmly say I grew up. So I started kindergarten there all the way into fifth grade. And yeah, no major complaints. Life was good. Just being a kid, playing every day and making, you know, snowmen in the wintertime and birthday parties and barbecues in the summer. It was your typical suburban upbringing. And throughout this whole period, my parents were both in school in the process of obtaining their bachelor's and master's degrees. So lots of work, and they were really busy, but me and my sisters, we kept ourselves pretty occupied between each other and then maybe soccer or piano or ballet or any other thing that my parents were able to enroll us in. And then in the sixth grade, moved to another suburb in Bergen County that looked a lot different from Inglewood in terms of demographics and ethnic diversity, socioeconomics. And that was the moment when I realized like the value of money and changing, having a material impact on your everyday world. The culture shock, just being one of the few Black kids in my community and my school, but then also just hearing things I had never heard from people before. I only heard on TV, like people going skiing or having a second home or a vacation home. And I was like, wait, what's wrong with your regular house in the summertime? And all sorts of things that really marked stay-at-home moms. I didn't know any mother who stayed at home prior to that. And all sorts of things that really marked a massive class difference in the way people lived and the way people maybe regarded money and time and resources. And that was a major, major pivot at a young age in being able to observe such stark differences in two communities that were only maybe 30 minutes apart.
Wow, that's really profound. So with that context in mind, what's your earliest or most impactful money memory?
It would probably be, it's a series, and it definitely follows that pattern or that narrative I just shared. But it would probably be when my mom had earned her MBA. So she was done and she got a job at a Fortune 500 company. And it was like a light switch went off. You know, all the activities I described, like soccer, piano, ballet, we weren't really able to do those things until my mom finished school. And then even just the way in which we could engage with our world, like we ate out more. We took vacations, not just to see family and friends, but we took mini vacations all up and down the East Coast. So those were, and we got a new car too. So we were able to trade in an older car for a newer model of a Grand Jeep Cherokee. I was able to shop in more expensive stores for clothes as opposed to like Value City or Goodwill or Payless. We were able to get name brands. So it made a huge difference because now you have two viable incomes coming into the household. And here I am enjoying all these splurges, not realizing that they're making even greater investments for us on the back end, which ultimately resulted in us moving from where we were to an area that had what were considered better schools. So that was the moment where I realized like, that's why she was in school. And like, that's why she was doing all this work and running up and down, because her getting and completing her education, which opened up far more employment opportunities, meant that we had in a way more options in terms of just how we lived our leisurely life. But then ultimately in terms of the kind of education and capital we could attain in our core life, in our education. Yeah.
So was seeing your mother go through, or your, I should say your family go through, you know, pursuing higher education and kind of witnessing the effects that that had on your quality of life, is that something that influenced your view on education and your, you know, kind of career and educational choices?
Oh, certainly. Like without a doubt. Without a doubt at all. Because I mean, when you're a kid, you don't really, you don't really know that, like, you don't have a sense of, oh, there are other people in other places who are living a certain way. Like I said, like, I thought people only went skiing on TV. I didn't know people did that in real life. So like, when you actually are then forced and thrust into this new setting, that's when it kind of hits you, right? Like, I think had we just, you know, settled for the new clothes, the new car, the vacations, we probably would have been okay. But I don't think I would have changed much. But the massive culture shock and just seeing how people lived in this other community, how they spent their money and their time. Because when I lived in my initial neighborhood, like, it was how you, your appearance, your clothes, wearing name brands were a big deal. Whereas in the new neighborhood, like, those weren't valued as much. People talked more about where they went on vacation. People were part of private soccer and hockey clubs or swim teams that cost hundreds or thousands of dollars a year. People had nannies or house help. Like, those were ways in which people flexed their status. And I was completely unaware that, like, people my age were living like this. So it definitely had a profound impact on my future, because it made me realize, like, I had options in terms of how I wanted to attain success. It wasn't just limited to my wardrobe or my appearance. Like, there's so many other ways in which I could explore and express myself, and then also accumulate resources that I thought were valuable for me.
So flipping it over to the other side for a second, what is your biggest financial regret?
There are little things like, you know, I didn't realize how expensive framing was, or like, you know, rugs are, you know, when you get your first apartment. So those are like little things. I always look at my rug. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I spent so much on you. And then there's like little things in my past, like, you know, the prom limo that I took was like $200 per person. And I look back and I'm like, that was so dumb. We were literally in there for like 15 minutes. But other than that, it sounds so much a regret, but something that I feel, especially in this remote work environment, I feel like could have been handled so much better, which was like housing, especially because I lived in San Francisco for 4 years. Where housing, especially in those years, I was there from 2012 to 2016, housing was just so expensive. It was so, we were all paying mortgages to live not so well, cramped spaces on top of our roommates and our neighbors. And, you know, we had friends in other parts of the country who were paying, you know, financing a mortgage on half of what we were paying. So that's definitely something I look back on. I wonder, was it worth it? I think in today's world where you have tech hubs and innovation hubs all over the country in more affordable settings, and we also have this remote work environment where more companies are allowing their workforce to work from anywhere, It's definitely going to create more flexibility and slack for people for whom housing is just a massive, massive portion of their monthly expenses. But yeah, I was spending, I think, and I was making almost no money. So I was spending almost all of my salary on my rent in San Francisco. And yeah, it kind of like sends you on a tailspin, headspin, because you almost wonder, like, am I just working to pay the landlord, like, and the utilities? Like, is that really what I wake up every day to do? But toughed it out and things got better over time. But yeah, definitely San Francisco rent prices were a massive, like, while you're paying for it, it's just so painful. So painful.
We should just get like commemorative tattoos of the time. Like, we survived like the San Francisco housing bubble of like the mid-2000s or whatever. On a lighter note, what do you think is some of the best money you've ever spent?
Ooh, some of the best money. Definitely some of my better vacations. I went to Brazil while I was in business school, and I splurged on a direct-ish flight from Sao Paulo and Rio. But it was just such a great trip. It was like 8 days of just laughing and eating and partying with awesome people. So that's something I look back. It cost a pretty penny, but it's so worth it. What else? I would also say my education. Definitely. I'm still paying for it, but my degrees have opened up a lot of doors, and I know they'll continue to open up doors at a global scale. So that has been something that I know I spent a lot of money and time on, but I can never regret, because now I have it and no one can ever, ever take it away from me. So, you know, you can question what I know or what I'm capable of, but you can never question my education. So that's something that's set in stone. So that feels awesome. And then, yeah, I think occasional birthday gifts here and there. I've bought myself, you know, some handbags or some jewelry here and there for different milestones that I like, because I get to reflect and look back on it and feel good about that period or that moment. So there's some nostalgia linked to it. And of course, anything I can give to someone else to make them feel better. So donating, volunteering, gifts that I get for people. So yeah, definitely, definitely that.
I have one more question, and that is, if you could have a money slogan, what would it be?
Ooh, if I could have a money slogan. I'm definitely going to steal this one from my dad, who ripped it off from someone. But he would always say, if you don't save money, money can't save. And that's something I'm always like thinking of. And it's probably why I have all sorts of mechanisms in place to automatically save and invest money before I, like, my paycheck is like, it's like almost half of what I actually earn, just because all the money just goes towards paying down debt or increasing some kind of saving or investment somewhere else. So, and I've been broke before, obviously. I was a college student. I was living in San Francisco making almost nothing. So I definitely don't want to go back to that place. And it only gets more complicated as you get married, you have kids, your parents get older. You know, more and more people rely on you. It just becomes even more important to save and plan for the long haul. So yeah, I definitely want to save my money so my money can save me.
I haven't heard that one before, but I'm definitely a fan. Well, Tosin, thank you so much for sharing your time and your money memories with us. It's been a delight.
Thank you, Alona. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to just continue following money memories, and thanks for having me on the show.
This week, I wanted to try out something new. I've been asking you to share your money questions with me on social media, and this week, the trending topic was definitely NFTs, or non-fungible tokens. Many of you wanted a simple explanation as to what these are and what my take on them was. A few weeks ago, I interviewed Matthias Tangblad, whose startup CoWrite focuses on NFTs for artists. So I'll let the expert explain exactly what an NFT is.
Basically, NFT whatever. You can NFT your house, you can NFT a song, you can NFT a painting, you can NFT a VIP ticket to a club or whatever. You can pretty much put in. It's a small little contract that tells you that you are the one and only owner to this little feature, whatever it is. That is the NFT.
Did you catch that? So basically, an NFT is a digital asset that represents a collectible thing. It's unique and can be traded on an exchange. The majority of them reside on the Ethereum crypto network. To be honest with you all, NFTs and crypto is a space that I don't know a ton about. When I was starting to do the research of this segment, I fell down a rabbit hole that involved DeFi or decentralized finance, blockchain, and crypto. So as you can see, I'm still learning along with you all. As far as my opinion on NFTs, I'll just punt and say, I'm a fan of innovation. So even though I might not understand all the intricacies of NFTs, I think their evolution is really cool. I'm also super aware of some of the scamming that goes on in the crypto space. One of my fair friends actually shared a prank the CEO of Signal made to show how easily NFTs can be scammed. Spoiler alert, it involves a turd emoji. So just like everything else related to personal finance, it's more personal than finance, and you should always do your research. Was that helpful? Share your thoughts and submit your questions to me at IlonaOnTheMoney on IG and Twitter. You can also submit a question on www.moneymemoriespodcast.com. Don't forget to share the show with your friends and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you liked it. See you next week.